Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome again to another edition of Blog Talk Radio, Workforce Central, brought to you by the National Association of Workforce Boards in Washington, D.C. I am your host, Ron Painter, and I want to welcome you back. And if you're listening live or you're listening to this on delay, I'm going to start off by apologizing, and to my guests Bruce and Patrick, I'll apologize as well. It is allergy pollen season here in Washington D.C., so I am, working through that. So I apologize if it sounds a little nasal or I sneeze. Donna Riles is at the controls, as she always is for us. If you're listening live and you have a question, you can either type it into the chat, and Donna and I will pick that up, or you can give us a call at 773-897-6309. And I'm really, as some of you know, I don't pretend to be an expert, but I love the conversation around data and where data is going, and do I have a couple people who understand that to talk to today. I'm going to welcome back Bruce Steven, who is the Director of Real-Time Labor Market and Intelligence Research for Monster Government Solutions. With more than 20 years of market research experience focused on building products, and a big part of that, partnerships and new capabilities with real-time labor market intelligence, Bruce has developed and delivered a variety of products using labor intelligence to drive decisions in workforce, economic, and education. Bruce also has extensive experience in market intelligence product development and management, primary research, consulting, business development, building and managing teams, as well as research writing and analysis, and a pretty strong history in the private sector. Bruce, good afternoon.
Hey, Ron. Good afternoon to you. It's a pleasure to be here again on Blog Talk Radio with you.
I was going to say, welcome back. This is we've done this, and you are across the river from me, right down in over in Virginia.
We're based there. I'm talking to you today from the Boston area where I'm based.
Awesome. Is it snowing in Boston, because that'll offend folks in New England. But let me also then introduce Patrick Baker. Some of us in this area, I happen to be a Maryland resident, will recognize Patrick's name. Patrick has more than 30 years of experience ranging from local to statewide management. During his career with Maryland, he was the director of field operations, responsible for the statewide network of workforce development offices, and administered the state's federal grant funds. He has been a frequent guest and a frequent participant in national and regional working groups and meetings. His forte has been around dislocation, healthcare coverage assistance, and in his current role as a consultant, Patrick works with a variety of workforce boards and program operators who are preparing for, ta-da, the transition from WIA to WIOA, or as I refer to it as, I&O. Patrick, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Ron. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm very happy to have been invited to be a part of your radio show.
Well, Patrick, it's great to have you, because I suspect that, like myself, you were a veteran of JTPA to WIA, so we've lived through this transition thing.
That's correct.
And now we get to do it again, right?
Right.
So what we want to talk about today really is some pretty cool stuff. I'm going to I'm going to make mention right away from WIA to WIOA, The Evolution of Workforce Development. It is a white paper that Monster Government Solutions has put out. We're probably going to refer to it a couple of times. Bruce, I'm assuming we can grab this on your website.
Yes, monstergovernmentsolutions.com. It's up there.
Okay. Awesome, awesome. Again, I want to thank you guys for joining us, and I want to thank you for having really been a big part of Forum 2015. As you guys were there, Bruce, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ron.
You're welcome. I hope I know a lot of the crew was there. It was great to see a lot of the friends from Monster. Hey, I guess I'll turn to you first, Bruce, and say, look, as part of that, you're being at the forum. You guys hosted by my term, I'll be interested to see if it was by your term, a very successful workshop session that brought together about 20 different boards for a discussion around what they were doing to prepare for I&O, what challenges they saw and what successes they'd experienced to date. And I know that there's a lot of hunger out there for how do I be ready? What should I be doing? So, Bruce, you want to kick off like talking about what the background was, what you guys, how you went about doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Ron, as you've highlighted, I think, you know, anytime you have a big change like this one from WIA to WIOA, it requires a lot of integration and collaboration between a range of stakeholders. So with this in mind, we put together this open roundtable discussion at the recent NOB Forum in D.C. And as you said, I mean, we really wanted to give folks a place where they could go to share their ideas and best practices. And by my count, I think we achieved that. The turnout was really great. We had a nice cross-section of states represented. In the group I was part of, we had folks from California, Massachusetts, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and some other states. And we got feedback from WIB leaders and staff, economic development experts, and state officials. And the discussion covered current implementation. What were the best practices? And folks really shared ideas on how to optimize training, education, and overall workforce development. So we at Monster Government Solutions think this type of collaboration along with research and discussion is critically important to really effectively tackling this big transition to WIOA.
So Patrick, there were can you tell us a little bit about, I mean, talk a little bit about what you guys covered? As I understand it, there were really three key ideas. Part of that had to do with alignment, because now I&O talks about a system, a workforce development
yes.
system.
Yeah,
focusing on
Bruce. Oh, I'm sorry.
No. Focusing on, I know part of that had to be was focused around how do you improve, one of the big parts of I&O, which is the connection to business. Talk about your experiences there, what you guys learned.
Okay. Well, basically, as Bruce mentioned, it was a cross-section of individuals within the system from across the country. And we really wanted folks to come together and tell us a bit about how were they transitioning from WIA to WIOA and what alignments were they making. So we looked at three key areas. We first wanted to look at how they were aligning workforce development programs, looking at those partners and core programs that are being aligned and pulled together at the state level down through the locals, and then also looking at how can we improve the engagement with businesses and citizens to look at how do we align the skills that the employers need and for their job opportunities or the opportunities they have, and in turn giving insight to job seekers or to the public on what opportunities are there and what kinds of skills they will need for those opportunities. And then also, more directly, focusing in on their efforts to deal with high-growth sectors. How are they looking to deal with high-growth sectors and understanding what those industries actually need?
Patrick, let me ask you this kind of a follow-up earlier to my conversation. You and I are both veterans of this now being kind of the second transition we've lived through in major
right.
legislation. Do you see this idea of, first of all, the fact that it seems like INO talks about workforce development as a system, and secondly, this notion of alignment, which to me requires collaboration. Are those things that you think are the big items in INO, or what do you see as big items?
I do really see that collaborate. If you go back to WEA and even talking about earlier, we talked about being there for the transition from JTPA to WEA. When you look at that, you can see in the new legislation, the new law, that there was tweaking things and establishing a focus on having education entities more directly a part of the process of the planning stage as it relates to training and the needs for growth employment. And in addition to that, a more customization of listening to businesses based on what their actual needs are, and then using the tools at hand to facilitate that alignment. I know we will probably get into that through this, but yeah, I think that's where it's taking us, to greater customize and drill down to what the employer actually needs, and making sure the staff that are going to provide those needs have the tools at hand to help them make informed decisions. But this has to come from the top down, so that's why it needs to be a part of that unified process or aligning under the unified plan.
Wow. Bruce, Patrick brought up JTPA, and for the listeners, Bruce and I, before we went on the air, we were doing kind of quizzes back and forth, and we were trying to figure out who originally recorded Donna. Bruce, can you imagine how people barely remember Ronald Reagan was president when JTPA was signed?
Right.
Who recorded Donna?
Yeah.
Bruce, you've seen changes in I know we've chatted about this. You've seen changes in how workforce boards have matured over the last decade. Your conversations with the boards, both at the forum and in that conversation, and also outside, how well do you think, or how aggressively are boards embracing this idea of regional alignment and collaboration, kind of the ingredients that we were just talking about?
Well, and I think you know this, and I've heard folks relay it back, that at the forum, I think there was a lot of focus on that and a lot of people getting lined up behind it. And we heard about this within the discussion we had, too, this shift to greater alignment collaboration. And this obviously may be new for many WIBs. You know, they're used to operating independently, but as we've already established here, they're going to have to align in support of statewide workforce strategy. But they still have and need opportunities to localize their data, their partnerships, and their services. What was exciting within the discussion we had was to hear about how this alignment and collaboration is already underway in a number of states, like in California. You know, they've already started working groups. They're interacting at a level they said they'd never done under WIA. They're sharing their best practices, their expertise, and stakeholders. And this one was interesting. In Colorado, there's a centralized coordination of stakeholders under a leadership position, which is called the WIOA Change Manager. And in Colorado, they've also started doing regional meetings to start the conversations among stakeholders statewide. You know, Patrick was talking about tools, so we also started to hear about tools being used to help facilitate alignment and collaboration. So these are things like online portals, conferencing tools, project management and document sharing tools. And we some of the more sort of forward-thinking states were already using these tools, say, to collaborate on results that they have, sharing results. And we expect to see a lot more use of these tools as we go forward.
And I'm guessing, Patrick, that is, as we reflect back on this and many of our colleagues do, that's probably one of the areas that we have a huge advantage in this transition, is the fact that there is a lot more tools that are out there around, you know, tracking and around management and the analytics, the data that's involved.
Yeah, I think that I've been thinking about this in regard to today's conversation, and then just thinking about the transition, as we mentioned earlier, to Wiela and what tools we had in the past. And, you know, this has always been a people business, and the boards have traditionally always focused on those high-touch interactions with employers and other stakeholders. But to increase the engagement and to keep it ongoing and those interactions to scale, we have to look at enhanced technologies, I mean, and go beyond just having the interaction, the technology interaction, being a listing of services on a website. It has to be far more interactive. I mean, if you think about the way we operate today ourselves through our smartphones and with barcodes, utilization to purchase or to go to sites, you know, the just automated check-in like at the airport and so forth, that the boards and all really need to embrace these technologies or model technologies to similar if they want to bring all of this to fruition. I think that, you know, we're at a very important time here, especially if you look at the idea of career paths within the legislation, within the act, that concept of not just going from to help to find someone a job and then that be it, but looking forward and looking beyond that and to the next steps for the individual's job, employment opportunities, and sustainability in the future. And then also in turn looking at what are the next steps for the employer and what are their needs going to be. If we can do those things, we're going to drive the system in a very positive direction. And so we do have to embrace the new technologies and the interaction of those in order to be successful. And I think business will buy into that if we do that.
Let me step out half a second and remind folks, you are listening to Workforce Central Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by the National Association of Workforce Boards in Washington, D.C. I'm Ron Painter. My guests today are Bruce Steffen from Monster Government Solutions, and Patrick Baker from his own consulting firm, and hanging out with me, PKB Consulting, and we're talking about the transition from WIA to the INO and Monster's white paper, The Evolution of Workforce Development. Patrick, let me come back to you or to Bruce, and you know, you mentioned this just now when we were talking about these different technologies. I mean, isn't part of this, we used to do things by transaction. There were lots of people who did transactions, and we're really talking about a new approach, right? And we're talking about more about engagement than mm-hmm. than just a I don't want to say a throwaway transaction, but just the relatively short span of a transaction. We're really talking more about engagement, and that does come back to what you were talking about, a greater reliance on technology, the ways to stay in touch, the ways to do analytics. as we do that. Oh no, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bruce.
I think there's a couple of ways that engagement is shifting. One is through the use of data. Data becomes kind of a unifying story that is shared between collaborators who are in workforce, economic development, education, and employers. And they're doing this in a number of ways. They're using real-time labor market information to supplement traditional labor market information like economic forecasts that you see coming out from BLS and the state LMI shops. They're also, I think, more and more realizing you have to also talk to business. You have to survey them. You have to understand what their needs are. And by using different assessments,
Wait a minute. Are you talking about like you actually have to talk to the customer, Bruce? That's pretty radical.
You absolutely have to talk to the customer. Sometimes you can do that passively. If you can do that passively through like things like aggregated job postings, and you can do that directly by surveying them or going and visiting them face to face or using other tools and technologies to engage them. By doing these various approaches, I think we can do things like identify the skills gap that's talked about, whether it's in middle skill positions, STEM jobs, particular industries, and so on. And then that information then becomes a common basis for understanding, but probably more importantly, and under WIOA, informs strategic plans, shapes training and education programs. And the real-time aspect is getting more important because that's one of the kinds of data that is being propagated as part of WIOA so that it can tell strategy what to do, can tell what programs should be shaped in what direction, what credentials should be taught, what skills are in demand, and so on. We see a number of states doing this already, states like Michigan, for instance. I think the other thing that we heard at this discussion was, technologies like CRM, customer relationship management systems, just as things like Salesforce.com and Infusionsoft help track sales movement in the private sector, WIBs are looking for different tools to consolidate information across programs so that you don't have five or six people calling on the same employer, to streamline that engagement and outreach and then track the progress for job seekers. So we heard and we've seen movement towards some of these kinds of tools to make that engagement more far-reaching and more systematic and more diagnostic.
I think that's a great point, Bruce, and I think it's one of the things that it's one of the points that I make why we at NAWB are so high on local business-led boards, and that has because business really does have both the habit of talking to their customer because it's how they stay in business, but secondly is also things that you touched on, like ways of measuring what's the impact of this engagement. It isn't just data for the sake of having like a spiffy looking chart, right, in multiple colors and looks nice. It really is about trying to measure the impact and the effectiveness of these engagements.
Absolutely. How satisfied is your customer? How far along are you in building the relationship? What are the touch points you've made to get that relationship moving and so on?
Yeah, and I think Bruce hit on it before about making sure that there's not interaction that's unnecessary or what I would call redundancy by having, people making contact that make it look less than systemic and less than streamlined in regard and well thought out. I think that part of this is doing the research, and in turn, once you've done the research, being able to systematically work with the employer and make them feel that you really know what they're doing and what they need, and being a good listener to what their needs are, along with using
Patrick,
these tools.
You've had the opportunity. I know one of the things that I've come to appreciate in coming to D.C. is the fact this is a big country, and regions across the country perform and behave differently. They have different drivers. I mean, you've had the opportunity in Maryland at understanding that even within a state,
oh, yeah,
there are different regions, and they are, you know, there are different drivers, there are different behaviors in those regions. Now working, you know, with Monster, what kind of data or methodologies can do you see the boards can use to inform them about where are high growth sectors and how does, you know, what's important to my region?
Well, there's quantitative data and then there's qualitative data. I think that, you know, with the advances in data collection and the analysis that how they are delivered in an unprecedented way, and give greater insight into the talent needs, you know, in that area, that's important. But, you know, it needs to be built within a way of integrating that with what the local business leaders need. You know, in Maryland, if you, like you said, if you go to one portion of the state, you're going to find very concentrated high tech and biomedical employers, and they're going to have one set of needs, and then you may be dealing with distribution and transportation type businesses or employers in another portion of the state, either dealing with the port or with some of employers in the western part of the state. They're going to have very different needs, so you're going to have to be able to tailor that, and that's going to be based on continuing to have that boots on the ground engagement with those employers, in addition to the tools of dealing with inventory gap tools and those kinds of things, assessments. Quantitative, you know, data is important, but the research done in advance of an employer visits or contacts is extremely important, understanding what they need. There was a real good example that was brought to my mind in the Las Vegas WIB. They decided they were going to focus on local businesses and identify those growth needs. And then to ensure a relationship with their business engagement staff to meet those needs. And by doing that, they wanted to develop some and build some regional expertise in their areas so they could develop a real credibility as being experts in assisting those employers.
Wow.
Yeah, Ron, just to chime in here, I think on the quantitative side there, I think that the recognition of things like the real-time labor market information is growing. There are any number of fairly economical tools that are available. And, you know, when we work with even within workforce regions, you know, sometimes there might be multiple microeconomies that coexist. I have one client in Connecticut, for example, where, you know, a large component of what they do is concentrated around a big university town in healthcare, but they also have on the shore a tourism economy. So, you know, they have to balance out between those two different kinds of situations, and that's where having that really granular view of how your region operates or even the area directly around your region operates is also critical. So there are any number of, you know, licensable tools out there available, and more training and more understanding, I think, and more expertise in how to deploy and, again, balance the quantitative with the qualitative. But certainly it's a lot easier to keep a pulse on what's going on using some of these aggregation databases and related analytic tools.
Bruce, let me ask you a potentially an unfair question, but I'll ask you nonetheless. We started off the conversation by saying what, you know, how confident were the two of you that, you know, boards were embracing this idea of systems and alignment. But Bruce, let me come back and ask you about your experience over the last, you know, since I've been here in D.C., you and I have been hanging out together, so last 5 or 6 years. Do you have greater confidence in the ability of local boards to to understand, to better understand data, to better understand the data analytics that that I know you guys are capable of. I know one of your board, one of your partners in Connecticut, you know, Bill Villano. I mean, Villano and I talk about the depth of the reporting. Is this something like you have greater confidence in?
Yeah, because I think there are more people who are doing it and understanding it. So for example, you have, you know, the federal level ETA getting involved and starting to have the state labor market information shops subscribe to some of these real-time labor market tools and understand them. So as they gain understanding, and there's also training coming from nonprofit organizations and from, you know, folks on the commercial side like ourselves. So I think collectively there's a much greater idea of how to use the data. There have been environmental scans done of the various tools and approaches and where it fits best and where it doesn't fit best. So I think collectively there's momentum behind it, and as a result the level of understanding has increased. Now, having said that, there is a little bit of a learning curve to understand how to effectively use this and use it in conjunction with other types of data, whether it's qualitative data or economic data or survey data.
Let me ask you, out of the conversation, out of your conversation from the boards, what kind of trends did the two of you see emerging? And I guess the corollary to that was there anything that surprised you as you talked to the boards?
Well, I would say, having been through this before and very localized or, you know, on a broader based figure situation, is that there was a real spirit of collaboration. And, I mean, I saw a lot of idea sharing in the room. I didn't see those what are sometimes called the fundamental turf issues. Either coming up in the conversation, or being shown as a barrier through the participation of everyone that was involved. I think there's a real willingness to see the system move forward and to refine things to make things better and to make it more cohesive. It's going to be a challenge. I mean, there are going to be issues, but I get the sense there's real buy-in to this. I'm going to mention a colleague said to me, recalling when we went from JTPA to WEA, he said, you know, when this came out, when we were in the fall, he said, you know, I hope we don't try to make our WEA structure, tweak it and just make it fit WEA-la like we did in many ways with JTPA to WEA. And I said, yeah, it would be nice to really take and look at everything and put everything on the table and make the changes and adjustments that need to be made. So, and I think that's kind of what I saw there, in addition to, you know, there at our meeting.
Bruce, yeah, your observation, anything surprise you?
I think that the fact that the stakeholders are becoming more data-driven in their decision-making and planning, and they're aligning around data. So they're aware of and trying to get at what are the high-growth occupations and what are the high-growth industries. And that can help with employer engagement, job placement, and career advising. And I think in general they're also waking up to the idea that they need to be more innovative and more focused on technology. So whether it's using CRM tools or some of the other collaborative tools, they're certainly getting behind those. And then we also see at a higher level, at a state level especially, that these online labor exchanges like the ones that we operate in Ohio and that we're building in the state of Washington are facilitating collaboration, availability of information, case management, performance, and so on. So I think you're going to see more movement at the state level towards those kinds of exchanges, and that will in turn impact things at the regional level.
And Bruce, this has to be, because I am now going to reveal a little-known factoid about you. This has to be fascinating for someone whose undergraduate degree is in cultural anthropology.
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, because this is, INO is a disruptor. I think, you know, Patrick mentioned it. I've heard other people mention it. I mean, this is a disruptive piece of legislation, because it does talk now about collaboration. It does push onto the boards these responsibilities around, really responsibilities around collaboration and convening, and this engagement, this deep engagement with the community, with the region, and with employers.
And I think with the unified plan, I think that, you know, that puts everybody's feet to the fire, as they say, because it's, you know, it's a requirement, and everybody needs to not buy in, but be in the process.
Yeah, I agree, Patrick. I think it's going to be interesting. I really, it's going to be, I think, maybe you disagree, a challenge for the state level, because I was reminded not too long ago of the deep concern that the Eastern Shore of Maryland has around H-2 visas, because
mm-hmm.
on my side of Maryland, it's really the H-1.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
It's really two completely, I don't want to say completely different economies, but they're really different drivers.
They are.
And you get
into
some place like...
You're right.
You know, Bruce, down in Virginia, where you are up in Massachusetts, and California, I mean, it's really got to be a challenge for folks to put together the unified plan.
Yeah, I think that, and then dropping down, and as we said, you know, using some of this new data, this new expertise to localize plans, to make it relevant
mm-hmm.
and actionable to your customers, whether they're employers or your job seeker base.
And whether or not
it
certainly ends with conversations with the customer, right? Very,
mm-hmm.
very rich conversation with customers. We're coming toward the end of the time, so I'm going to give the floor, Patrick, to you first, if there are any closing thoughts that you have. Patrick Baker, president of PKB Consulting, it's been a pleasure having you. I want to thank you and ask you for any closing thoughts.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Ron, being on here with you and Bruce. I appreciate being a part of this conversation. I would just say that when we look at WIELA, it's really focused on dealing with the customers and making sure that services are aligned in a very concise way to provide deliverables to the businesses that we serve and the customers that we serve, so that doing that and making sure that we understand or remember that return on investment is a key point for employers, and if we can help them improve their return on investment, we will be going a long way to making this a better system. And that's the key thing that I think we have to, and using the technology toward the future.
Cool. Bruce Steffen, Director of Real-Time Labor Market Intelligence, Monster Government Solutions. Again, always a pleasure to be with you. As I said at the forum, I really, especially now, encourage directors to talk to people like you, to talk to the vendors, because you guys are trying to figure out how your products have to adjust to INO and to the new world. So I want to say thanks for being with me today and being available when I have crazy questions to call you about. But kind of closing thoughts?
Yeah, thanks, Ron. We appreciate the opportunity to do the forum that we did at the forum. And we're going to be doing some more things going forward, so we're excited about that. We'll be doing some research as the WIOA transition continues and probably accelerates, and you'll see some other stories coming out from us and social media and through some other channels. And Patrick, thank you for all the help that you gave us and expertise in doing the open discussion and also the reporting out and for your insights today. And to pick up on what Patrick was saying, I really think to leave you with this, there's really a key message to hiring employers. There's going to be a lot more innovation action and relevance because of the combined collaborative efforts of workforce boards, economic development, and community colleges. So I think WIOA fits with a broader trend towards focusing in on skill gaps, using data, where is there a need for employment, doing partnerships with employers. So we're all part of, a bigger trend going on here. And I think you're going to see from workforce boards better and more application of tools, data, strategies, and technologies so that the workforce boards can understand and meet current and future talent requirements. What are the skills? What are the certifications? What's the education that's needed? So we're very excited about being a part of that and providing some of the key pieces in making all of this transition become successful across the country.
Bruce, thanks again. And people can read more about this, the evolution of workforce development from WIA to WIOA, from Monster Government Solutions, at monstergovernmentsolutions.com. So I'd encourage people to go out there and read the full report. Again, Patrick, Bruce, thank you very much. To our listeners, thank you. I'm Ron Painter. You've been tuned in to Workforce Central, Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by the National Association of Workforce Boards in Washington, D.C. Have a great one.
And it's been great talking to you
thanks,
guys, too.
Thanks again, guys.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.